TED Audio Collective. This TED Talk features immigration policy analyst David Beer, recorded live at TED Salon, Border Stories 2019.
Canva presents unexplained appearances. It was an ordinary workday until...
That presentation appeared out of thin air.
Also, it's eerily on brand.
Wait, did that agenda just write itself?
Words appear, making this unexplainable case...
Unexplainable? It's Canva's AI tools.
I can generate slides and words in seconds.
Really? The real mystery is why I'm only learning this now.
Canva.com. Designed for work.
This show is brought to you by Schwab. With Schwab investing themes, it's easy to invest in ideas you believe in, like electric vehicles, renewable energy, water sustainability, and more. Choose from over 40 themes. Buy as is or customize the stocks in a theme to fit your goals. Learn more at schwab.com/thematic investing.
Like TED Talks? You should check out the TED Radio Hour with NPR. Stay tuned after this talk to hear a sneak peek of this week's episode.
By October 2018, Juan Carlos Rivera could no longer afford to live in his home in Copan, Honduras. As the Dallas Morning News reported, a gang was taking 10% of his earnings from his barbershop. His wife was assaulted going to her pre-K teaching job, and they were concerned about the safety of their young daughter. What could they do? Run away? Seek asylum in another country? They didn't want to do that. They just wanted to live in their country safely. But their options were limited. So that month, Juan Carlos moved his family to a safer location while he joined a group of migrants on the long and perilous journey from Central America to a job a family member said was open for him in the United States. By now, we're all familiar with what awaited them at the U.S.-Mexico border. The harsher and harsher penalties doled out to those crossing there. The criminal prosecutions for crossing illegally. The inhumane detention. And most terribly, the separation of families. I'm here to tell you that not only is this treatment wrong, it's unnecessary. This belief that the only way to maintain order is with inhumane means is inaccurate. And in fact, the opposite is true. Only a humane system will create order at the border. When safe, orderly, legal travel to the United States is available, very few people choose travel that is unsafe, disorderly, or illegal. Now, I appreciate the idea that legal immigration could just resolve the border crisis might sound a bit fanciful. But here's the good news. We have done this before. I've been working on immigration for years at the Cato Institute and other think tanks in Washington, D.C., and as the senior policy advisor for a Republican member of Congress negotiating bipartisan immigration reform. And I've seen firsthand how America has implemented a system of humane order at the border for Mexico. It's called a guest worker program. And here's the even better news. We can replicate this success for Central America. Of course, some people will still need to seek asylum at the border. But to understand how successful this could be for immigrants like Juan Carlos, understand that until recently, nearly every immigrant arrested by Border Patrol was Mexican. In 1986, each Border Patrol agent arrested 510 Mexicans, well over one per day. By 2019, this number was just 8. That's one every 43 days. It is a 98% reduction. So where have all the Mexicans gone? The most significant change is that the U.S. began issuing hundreds of thousands of guest worker visas to Mexicans so that they can come legally. Jose Vasquez Cabrera was among the first Mexican guest workers to take advantage of this visa expansion. He told the New York Times that before his visa, he'd made terrifying illegal border crossings, braving near deadly heat and the treachery of the landscape. One time, a snake killed a member of his group. Thousands of other Mexicans also didn't make it, dying of dehydration in the deserts or drowning in the Rio Grande. Millions more were chased down and arrested. Guest worker visas have nearly ended this inhumane chaos. As Vasquez Cabrera put it, "I no longer have to risk my life to support my family. And when I'm here, I don't have to live in hiding." Guest worker visas actually reduced the number of illegal crossings more than the number of visas issued. Jose Basilio, another Mexican guest worker, explained why to the Washington Post in April. He said, even though he hadn't received a visa this year, he wouldn't risk all of his future chances by crossing illegally. This likely helps explain why, from 1996 to 2019, for every guest worker admitted legally from Mexico, there was a decline in 2 arrests of Mexicans crossing illegally. Now, it's true. Mexican guest workers do some really tough jobs. Picking fruit, cleaning crabs, landscaping in 100-degree heat. And some critics maintain that guest worker visas are not actually humane and that the workers are just abused slaves. But Vasquez Cabrera thought a guest worker visa was liberating, not enslavement. And he, like nearly all other guest workers, chose the legal path over the illegal one repeatedly. The expansion of guest worker visas to Mexicans has been among the most significant humane changes in U.S. immigration policy ever. And that humane change imposed order on chaos. So where does this leave Central Americans like Juan Carlos? Well, Central Americans received just 3% of the guest worker visas issued in 2019, even as their share of border arrests has risen to 74%. The U.S. issued just 1 guest worker visa to a Central American for every 78 who crossed the border illegally in 2019. So if they can't get their papers at home, many take their chances. Coming up through Mexico to claim asylum at the border or cross illegally, even if, like Juan Carlos, they prefer to come to work. The U.S. can do better. It needs to create new guest worker visas specifically for Central Americans. This would create an incentive for U.S. businesses to seek out and hire Central Americans, paying for their flights to the United States and diverting them from the illegal, dangerous trek north. Central Americans could build flourishing lives at home without the need to seek asylum at the border or cross illegally, freeing up an overwhelmed system. Some people might say that letting the workers go back and forth will never work in Central America, where violence is so high. But again, it worked in Mexico, even as Mexico's murder rate more than tripled over the last decade to a level higher than much of Central America. And it would work for Juan Carlos, who said despite the threats, he only wants to live in the United States temporarily to make enough money to sustain his family in their new home. He even suggested that a guest worker program would be one of the best things to help Hondurans like him. Cynthia, a 29-year-old single mother of 3 from Honduras, seems to agree. She told the Wall Street Journal that She came for a job to support her kids and her mom. Surveys of Central Americans traveling through Mexico by the College of the Northern Border in Mexico confirm that Juan and Cynthia are the norm. Most, not all, but most do come for jobs, even if, like the Riveras, they may also face some real threats at home. How much would a low-wage job help a Honduran like Juan or Cynthia? Hondurans like them make as much in 1 month in the United States as they do in an entire year working in Honduras. A few years' work in the United States can propel a Central American into its upper middle class where safety is easier to come by. What Central Americans lack is not the desire to work, not the desire to contribute to the U.S. economy, to contribute to the lives of Americans. What Central Americans lack is a legal alternative to asylum to be able to do so legally. Of course, a new guest worker program will not resolve 100% of this complex phenomenon. Many asylum seekers will still need to seek safety at the U.S. border. But with the flows reduced, we can more easily work out ways to deal with them humanely. But ultimately, no single policy has proven to do more to create an immigration system that is both humane and orderly than to let the workers come legally. Thank you.
For more TED Talks, go to TED.com. 20 years ago, Jimmy Wales founded Wikipedia as a place for everyone to share information. But he wasn't exactly sure how to run the site.
How do you put together a system that will generate a reasonable degree of quality and, you know, be open?
Ideas about building communities, online and off. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR. Subscribe or listen to the TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.